You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
So what would you say to somebody right now that they're just thinking, whatever, status quo, no big deal? You know, I sense you need to be prepared for.
No, I really do believe that if that's your way of thinking, you are the definition of a lukewarm believer.
Is it okay to be a lukewarm believer?
No, it's not okay. Lukewarmness breeds bacteria. Mm. Lukewarmness, you don't want to drink from a lukewarm well. You right. don't want to drink from a lukewarm spring. Mm-hmm. You want to drink from one that's either extremely cold
right.
or extremely hot. But lukewarmness breeds bacteria. Mm. And lukewarmness doesn't do much good for anybody. If you think about it, like if you go to a gym every single week and this particular gym that you go to has no weights, it has no workout instructors in terms right. of like breaking sweat.
Right.
And your coach just tells you, eat whatever you want and you'll lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
That gym would go out of business. Nobody would pay the membership fee on it.
Right.
Nobody would want to be a part of a gym like that
right.
because we all pay money for a gym membership to lose weight, to be healthier. And you know, if your Christianity is not making you uncomfortable, it's not challenging you, it's not progressing, it's not hungering, it's not thirsting, it's not wanting more than where you're at, then you might not be drinking from the same Holy Spirit. You know, the whole, if you have the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. God will be a consuming fire inside of you. I know this is challenging, but I think it's okay to examine whether you're in the faith. I believe every believer should examine whether they're in the faith, because there will be signs and there will be evidences whether you're in the faith. And if you're not in the faith, and if you're in a lukewarm state right now, and you've settled somewhere along your journey and you've wanted mediocrity more than passion and fundamentalism, and you've ended up in the pig pen, as it were, because that is the end result
right.
of mediocrity and compromise and lukewarmness. You settle for less and you've been living less than for a long time. Jesus is calling you up right now and saying, just repent. Your candlestick's not all the way out. I don't believe your candlestick will go out until our pulse stops here on this planet. We always have an opportunity to be white hot again. So repent. Repent today and say, you know, God, I don't want lukewarmness in my life.
Right.
I don't want to make peace with flesh or with sin or with lust. I don't want to make peace with the enemy. Train my hands to fight. Mm. Train my hands to war. Yeah. I want to fight. Right. I want to believe for my generation. Mm. The millennials are not going to hell in a handbasket.
No.
We're going to make it hard. Over my dead body,
right.
will one more sinner go to hell easily.
Right.
We need to rise up. We need to shake off. We need to invest into. We need to see the gospel message great in our generation. And we got to get white hot. He is a consuming fire.
So what does Jesus say about hot, lukewarm, and cold?
I believe that a lukewarm person, we emphasize lukewarmness as someone that goes to the clubs or someone that lives, someone that watches R-rated movies or someone that's just lackadaisical. But I see lukewarmness as much different than a lifestyle or a behavior. I see lukewarmness as someone that just wants to have a country club on Sunday morning, that keeps their faith to themselves, that has an assurance of heaven, but keeps it to them. I would say to that person, it would be better for you to either be the chief of sinners or the chief of believers, but don't live a miserable life in the middle. It's so miserable being in the middle.
So what he says, I'd rather you be cold or hot, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. What does he mean by that? Does he mean...
I believe...
That doesn't sound too well, does it?
No, I think that you either are all in with Jesus or you're all in with the world, but don't
there
be in
no
the middle.
There is no in-between.
You can only serve one of two masters.
It's not like you're halfway pregnant.
You have to either right. say, Jesus, I'm all in with you,
right.
or sin, I'm all in with you. But miserable Christians are those that live in the middle.
One foot in the world, one foot in the church.
They're miserable. There's no happiness to that, because it's like you live whatever way you want during the week, and then you go to church and you're like miserable, going, okay, I'll do better, I'll live better. And then you go out and you're miserable again and you're lukewarm. Whereas if you just abandon yourself to the Holy Spirit and say to Jesus, I want to be all in with you. Mm-hmm. It's not just Sunday morning. It's Monday through Friday. It's 24/7. It's open all year round. It's 365.
Right.
Holy Spirit, I'm open to you. The lights are on. The welcome sign is up. You come in and have your way with me. And you say to the Holy Spirit, do with me everything that you did with the church in Acts. I want all of you.
All in.
He makes you white hot.
Yeah.
He puts in you fervency and passion and charisma.
I believe this
and
generation
strength.
Is looking for fire.
They're looking for
firebrands. They're looking for some. They're just their kitchens. This one particular prophetic man prophesied, and he said specifically, God's going to deal with the lukewarm church. That it's the barrier between the lost and those in the church. And so when the lost starts to seek him, they come to the lukewarm folks, and there's no difference. There's no difference in them. I'm not gonna be religious. You know, I thought I came here for God. And literally it's causing the harvest to turn away. He was talking about God's gonna deal with that lukewarm, so then you have people on fire for God. When people look for him, they find him.
If you're lukewarm, I would say to you, go all in with sin.
Yeah.
And give up on this Christianity that's making you so miserable.
Yeah.
Give yourself over to the enemy. Let God turn you over to your lust. Because I'm telling you, if you pine for lust and you pine for your flesh and you live a lifestyle of being miserable and depressed, wanting sin more than God, but I want to go to heaven, so I'll just do this thing. You may not even make it there in the end of it.
Spit out of mouth, don't sound like it's too good of a place.
Jesus said, there will be many in that day that will preach in my name. They'll cast out demons in my name.
Miracles in my name.
They'll do miracles, but Jesus will look at them in the eyes on the day of judgment and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So we have to redefine iniquity, because the church has defined iniquity based on behavior and works and sinful lifestyle. But actually Jesus redefined iniquity in that teaching, and he said iniquity is living a life independent of God. That's iniquity. Mm. And lukewarmness is a life independent of God. If we want to be all the way in with God, we got to be all the way dependent on God. And where we're dependent on him, the Holy Spirit flows through a dependent man. A man that says, God, I've got nothing to hold on to but you. A man that says, I've tried everything. I've held on to everything. Mm-hmm. Nothing has satisfied. Mm-hmm. Jesus, you're everything to me. Mm-hmm. And when you get to that place, and unfortunately, some have to be like the prodigal son to get there.
Right.
Some have to go out into the world to get there. Some don't, like John, the apostle, just rested his head against Jesus's heartbeat, and that was enough for John to give his entire life to Jesus.
Right.
You don't have to be the prodigal son.
Right.
You don't have to make a testimony for yourself. Surrender and submit to Jesus. Right. Repent and let the Holy Spirit. I was saved at 6 years old, but am I a perfect person?
Right.
Not at all. But did I shoot up drugs? No.
Mm-hmm.
But I can reach people that have shot up drugs, not because I can relate to them, but because I got a better testimony than my story. Mm. It's the testimony of Jesus. And I'm in love with Jesus. And Jesus saved me from much, maybe not physically or in my behavior, but he saved me from an independent life from God. And I'm telling you, an independent life from God is worse than any blatant sin you could discuss at the dining room table about this person doing that and this being done and this.
Well, think about this. What Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, what you just referred to, it just rocks the idea of lukewarmness, because he's saying, you know, most concept of lukewarmness is just playing around with God, showing up at Easter every now and then, but just living like the world, but professing God with the mouth, the heart's far from them. But he's saying, if you actually ministered in my name, not just showed up, but if you talk to a demon and use the power, because there's power, what messes people up is they don't understand there's so much authority in his name that even people who don't know him can use his name, and the devil has to listen.
Yeah.
Because he said, if you cast out demons, if you perform miracles, we're not just talking about showing up on Easter. We're not talking about just, you know, living in the world and just showing up and telling people you're a Christian, because if you survey people, everybody says they're a Christian almost.
Right.
And so that just puts a deep plumb line across the whole reality, is that, my goodness, if they're moving in signs, wonders, and miracles, and they don't know Jesus, and you're not even picking your Bible up, not even praying, and don't want anything to do with God, but yet you say you're a Christian, that'll kind of put you in the same category of not knowing God. He said, I never knew you. Think about that. I never knew you.
Well, the apostles worked in such power, as we know in Acts, that in, I believe it's Acts 19, the seven sons of Sceva saw the power of That's Jesus' right. name, and they harnessed it. They said, there's money to be made in it. There's a nice lifestyle in it. Yeah. They'll give me a salary and a suit to preach behind a pulpit, and that's all I do every week.
And
that sounds like a great life.
For a while.
And I'll live a great life like that.
Yeah.
The thing about it is there's many that have come and gone and never ended up where they thought they were going because they missed out on why Jesus shed his blood. He didn't shed his blood for servants, for workers, for preachers, for ministers, even for the fivefold. Jesus did not shed his blood just for us to have a title. Every title that we could claim outside of just being sons and daughters is less than what Jesus earned for us in being a son and a daughter of our Father in heaven. Our Father reconciled us into a relationship. Mm. And if we miss relationship, we miss everything to
it's
do with Christianity.
That. It's family.
Yes.
The creator of the universe says, I want you to be my sons and daughters forever.
And what did the spirits say to the seven sons of Sceva when they tried to cast them out? They said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who the hell are you? Who the hell are you?
Right, right.
We need to be threats to the enemy.
Right.
We need to declare the blood of Jesus
then they beat
against
the
devil. And they beat and plowed and pounded them and left them black and blue.
So it will work for a while. You can start something in rebellion and do something that you think in your own mind, and it may work for a season, but it's going to turn in on you.
Yeah.
It needs to be, everything that you do, it needs to be done under the blood of Jesus Christ, in submission to God, for God, not for you, understanding he is confronting the adversary through you. It's not you confronting him in your own power. The authority he's given you is in his name, and being rightly aligned to his name. And if you use that, it may work for a little season. You may even end up in the judgment seat of Christ one day, and he say, yeah, you did do that, but I never knew you.
Oh,
so it's about a personal relationship. I couldn't imagine doing all this without having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But you know what? That's naive, because people will do a lot of things without even knowing Jesus. They'll build huge churches.
Yeah.
They will sing songs. They will be on Sunday schools. They'll do all kinds of things. But they won't. It doesn't mean they know him. I think about the encounter that that Rick Joyner had with God, Morning Star Ministries, with Lord took him away in this vision, and in this vision he goes to sees heaven, and there's different levels of heaven, and he goes to the particular lowest level of heaven, and it's this one of these supposed patriarchs of faith on the lowest level that everybody lives in high esteem. And he's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, well, I'm just glad to be here. Mm. You know, God had mercy on me. He gave me a wasting disease so that I would humble myself.
Yeah.
And right before I died, I was able to get my life right with
Thank
God.
You, Jesus.
He said, my home was out of order. I allowed, you know, some things to go on that shouldn't have gone on in my home. And I just tolerated it. And I knew it was wrong. And basically, I didn't repent. When I repented, then that's what got him in. So by the skin of his teeth, somebody who people look back and go, this was like a patriarch, you know? And he wasn't. He was literally a man like everybody's a man, and a woman just like everybody's a woman. And the fact that it's our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You could do a lot of things in religion.
You can.
And people will lift you up and invite you to their things. I mean, if you're a good speaker, they'll invite you all over the place.
If you think of Isaiah, going along with your train of thought here, if you think of Isaiah, the Lord said to Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah that his time is up.
Yeah.
And he goes and he tells Hezekiah, listen, Hezekiah, you had a good life. You were a pretty good king. You did some great works, and you cleansed the land of Israel. You brought order to the economy. You advanced the perimeters of the boundaries and borders. You did a good work, but God has just told me to tell you that it's up for you. You're going to be taken out.
And get your things in order, because it's over.
But Hezekiah, you know, his response was, no, I want to stay here. I want my will. I want my dream. I want to live here longer.
Right.
Tell God I don't want to go anywhere. And God said to you, Isaiah, okay, give the guy 15 more years.
Right.
But it was in that 15-year time frame that Hezekiah brought in Sennacherib's spies, showed them the treasures of Jerusalem, showed them the treasures of the temple.
Isn't that crazy?
And then when Hezekiah passes, Sennacherib and the enemies of Israel flood Jerusalem and conquer it, and it puts Israel in a bad place. What that says to me is that as Isaiah was, and even the seven sons of Sceva were, they were trying to take on a force that you can't take on with a carnal mind.
Right, yeah.
You know, you can't build the church with flesh and blood.
Yes.
Jesus said, I'll build my church. I don't need you to do it. And sometimes
Acts
we think,
17, yeah.
Sometimes we think, hey, Jesus, let me help you out.
Yeah, right.
I think I can build a church better than you if I put in LED lights, if I take out the pews, if I use smoke, put a rock band up, if I lose weight, work out in the gym, put on skinny jeans and do a cool haircut. You know, I'll grow your church for you, Jesus. You need some help.
Right.
We got some great electricity. We got some great guys. The thing is, God doesn't need our help except the Lord builds the house. The laborers labor in vain. And the house of God will only be built not by might, not by strength, not by human strategy or human will. It'll be built by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So when we depend on the Holy Spirit and we give our mouths to Him, sometimes what comes out of it sounds very negative. Like, what? You're preaching that message? That sounds like you're a harsh, hard prophet. No, I'm just preaching the whole counsel of Scripture for your benefit, for your growth, for your development. Like, if you have a coach at a gym, that coach will want you to break sweat every time you work out. He'll want you to press every bench you can do. He'll want you to be better. Sometimes you'll have to tell your hard things, like stop putting that Whopper in your mouth. Stop being lazy here. You know, tighten up in that area of your life. That's what a good coach does. That's what a good manager does for his football team.
Right.
Sometimes he's got to take off the the headset and get in their face and say, you guys can play better than that.
Right.
You guys can throw better than that. You guys can run harder than that. And the church today needs to be told, you got He that's in you that's greater than all of these things
out here in the
world. Be better. Be stronger.
Better. Yeah.
Be your best. You, not in terms of like wealth and prosperity, but if it is that, be better in health and prosperity.
Right.
I'm telling you, don't limit him to poverty. Don't limit him to anything. You know, if it's affliction he calls you to it, sing and rejoice in the prison cell and watch the ground shake and the chains break off. If you're called to a position of power like Joseph, utilize your possessions, utilize your resources for the kingdom of God's sake. I tell you, whatever God puts you into, whatever He tells you to preach, preach it whether it fills the room or empties the room. But at the end of the day, preach what God's told you to preach and preach it with every fiber, every fabric, everything you've got for the glory of God. And I tell you right now, there's no perfect person. We're all like the seven sons of Sceva. We're all flesh. We're all humans. But we need Jesus to build His church and let Him do what He can do.
Well, I think about Tim Tebow in sports entertainment. He's excellent. As a matter of fact, he will get on to you if you're saying, I'm a Christian and I need to be. He says, no, if you say you're a player, you got to play. You're representing the kingdom here. You got to be good at it. You know, I think about the Kendrick brothers who went into the media mountain and they're making movies that are powerfully affecting people, you know, and that. That's what you're saying. It's like, whatever you've been gifted to do, go into that mountain of culture. And one thing about it, you know, I want to encourage you, if you have not yet connected with VFN Kingdom Business, that's what it's all about. God has called us to go into the nations and disciple nations. And we do that by impacting culture. And with VFN Kingdom Business, we are helping encourage people to do that. As a matter of fact, we have a community that you can enjoy. You go to VFNKB.com to find out more about VFN Kingdom Business, but you go to VFNKB Community and join the community where like-minded people are together to be able to encourage and not make you feel bad that you're not a preacher. Listen, you could be ministering to more people running that franchise,
that business,
or in media or in radio, whatever it is. And we want to encourage you in that because that's how a nation will be won, is by impacting the mountains of culture with the light of the gospel.
Amen.
So that's VFNKBCommunity.com.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.